Okay.
There she is.
Yep. Okay, so we'll call the meeting to order at 6 PM. And we will start with a roll call vote. Mr. Corson?
Here.
Ms. Damon?
Here.
Mr. Dyer?
Here.
Mr. Hill?
Here.
And Mr. Main is here. We can all hear and be heard. And two other participants are Marjorie Stratton, the town administrator.
Here.
Thank you. And Christina Font.
I'm here.
Thank you. We can all participate in the meeting. We have Dave, you want to, yeah, you are recording. Good.
Yep.
And we have four attendees right at the moment. So I will go to item three, which is to accept public comment for anything not on the agenda. We're back down to three attendees. Would anybody like to speak on an item that's not on the agenda tonight? You can raise your hand now if you would. Okay, seeing none. Let's move forward to regular business. Item 21053 is to make annual municipal appointments. Shall I share the agenda with folks, or has everybody got it?
Got it.
Okay.
We'll get it.
Okay, good. So this is for the treasurer, tax collector, Freedom of Information Act, administrator, town clerk, registrar of voters, general assistance administrator, two selectmen to participate in the joint standing committee, animal control officer, code enforcement officer, fire chief, harbor master, tax assessor, and local health officer. A slate has been prepared by the clerks for us. I would accept a motion at this time to accept that slate if somebody's willing to do that. Yes, ma'am.
There's the two spaces in there without the selectmen nominate, you know, without a name. I'm wondering if we should wait and do those until after the election when we have a full body.
Whatever the board's pleasure is, if you'd like to make a motion and exclude those from the motion, that would, let's try that.
Okay. Yeah, I will. I would make a motion that we, I move that we make the following annual municipal appointments as listed on the town agenda, with the exception of the selectmen to represent the town with the Maine Island Coalition, and two selectmen to represent the town with the Yarmouth Joint Standing Committee.
Is there a second to that?
I'll second.
Okay, thank you, Mark.
For the record, since there really is not much of a record other than this, that I hate to say it, but list the appointees.
I'd be happy. Yeah, I suppose we ought to make it part of the motion. Go ahead.
But didn't you just read it?
I didn't put the people's names in. I just said positions.
Oh, okay. All right. Treasurer, tax collector, FOAA administrator, Marjorie Stratton. Town clerk and registrar of voters, Vika Wood. General assistance administrator, Marjorie Stratton. Animal control officer, Stephen O'Font. Code enforcement officer, addressing officer, building, plumbing, and electrical inspector, James Butler. Fire chief, Ralph Monroe. Harbor master and shellfish warden, Gennaro Balzano. And tax assessor, Jacqueline Robbins.
Okay. I have on the agenda that's posted, I also have a local health officer, yeah. Benita Anderson. Do you want to include that or not?
No, I do want to, but it's not on my list.
Yeah.
I printed this off from the website.
It was added at a later date.
I just printed this today.
It wasn't sent today, though. It was sent a couple days ago.
I'll second.
You know what? There is a bit of confusion. The agenda in the packet has that in there. However, the agenda, which stands alone, does not.
Right, and that's where I got it today, from the public one.
So there is a discrepancy. So David, that was an excellent suggestion, because we discovered that. So your motion includes the local health officer, Anita Anderson?
Yes, I will add that. Local health officer, Anita Anderson.
Okay. And Mark, we're going to make that part of the motion. Are you still okay with a second on that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, David, for that suggestion. Is there discussion on the motion? I'm wondering about the local health officer appointment. Given everything that's gone on, and the health needs that may arise in the coming year, I'm wondering if we shouldn't hold off on that and talk about that position and if it should have more responsibilities other than almost nothing, really. Basically go around and take the temperature of grills or things like that. And I wouldn't want to make that appointment if we were going to change the meaning of that position. And I might want to hold off on that. How do other people feel about that?
I'm fine with that. I think that's a very good point because we don't know what's going to happen. And we might need somebody in more of a role than what we had in the past.
Okay.
And it may be her or maybe somebody else.
I was just going to say that that may indeed be a topic for discussion. But I think it would make sense, though, to at least have a health officer on board for the record for the time being. But I think it's something we should actually sit down with Anita over Zoom and talk about what her role is and how she views it and what else we might do. But it would make sense to me, at least, to keep her on board for the time being.
Okay. What's the pleasure of the board? Anybody care to make a motion or amendment?
I guess what I'm thinking is, if in fact we might change that job description, if we were appointing her, we're appointing her for a year, right?
That could be reversed, I think, with a discussion with her.
I'm okay either way. The health officer it's not an emergency kind of position. So I think having it vacant for a time is not a huge deal. We've already done our appointments this year for the licenses that she would be responsible for. But it's whatever the board would like to do. So the motion right now is to include her. If we want to take that off for any reason, I would need a motion to amend. Yes.
I think I would make that motion to amend and leave the local health officer off for the time being.
Okay, is there a second? Is that the motion?
That's the motion.
Let's see if there's a second. Is there a second to that motion? We understand the amendment? Okay. Okay, hearing no second. Further discussion on the main motion? Okay, we'll take a roll call vote. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
And Mr. Main is yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay, next item is 21054, to approve municipal appointments. And this is to approve the following municipal appointments: to approve the treasurer's appointment of Christine Affont as deputy treasurer, and the town clerk's appointment of Christine Affont as deputy clerk and deputy registrar of voters. David.
I will make that motion as stated by the chair.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second it. But I have a question. So is Gloria no longer working with us?
Marjorie, go ahead.
I asked Gloria if she wanted to continue as the deputy treasurer, and she did not. There is a little bit of a problem with, let's see, what are we doing? We're doing Christine Offont, because she's the backup for doing the warrants. In other words, usually Vika would complete the treasurer's warrants, you know, and print the checks. And, you know, the auditors tell you, they talk about separation of duties.
Right.
Christine, if, for instance, if Vika isn't available, she does prepare warrants as well. So I don't see it as a big problem, but we do need one other person that is able to sign checks. Occasionally, if I'm not here for some reason, there should be some substitute. So I just wanted to make you aware of that.
Can that person be a selectman, Marjorie?
I believe so.
Okay.
So will Christine be able to sign checks based on this?
Oh no, I have to do paperwork with the bank.
Okay. I wasn't sure where that came into the discussion. I'm confused. I got confused.
I guess what I'm trying to say is that I wanted to make the selectmen aware. I mean, I don't have a concern other than from an auditing perspective. They always talk about separation of duties, and someone that is responsible for preparing checks and you know, invoices shouldn't be the same person that's signing the checks.
Right.
If you get my meaning.
Absolutely.
So Gloria wasn't doing any kind of the bookkeeping, so she was the perfect person to just be the alternate for signing checks.
Okay. So who would be the alternate going forward at this point? I think Donna's question was, would it be Chris? Is that the intent?
Well, it's still Gloria until I do the bank paperwork. You know, the bank is the important paperwork. And these are just appointments. For instance, you designate me as treasurer, but then I designate the deputy, but you confirm that. I know it sounds complicated.
No, it's not, but the question stands. Who are you recommending is the alternate signature for the checks? Are you making that recommendation now?
I guess we decided that Christine would be the most logical one right now.
Okay. That's fine. I'm just trying to be clear.
But so can I just ask Marjorie a question?
Yep.
So your concern was that she also prepares warrants.
Occasionally, she's the backup for warrants.
Yeah,
I just want to make sure that I made that clear to people about, you know, who in this office is doing what and what conflicts.
Yeah. And it would have to be wouldn't it have to be true that both you and Vika were not available in order for Christine to both prepare it and sign the checks? So
it would be unusual. Maybe I shouldn't even have brought it up.
No, it's okay. We need to understand these things, but, you know, especially with you leaving, we need to understand.
My other question was, so is Gloria still a deputy clerk?
Well, she wouldn't be then as of July 1st.
Well, so she's retiring.
Is that her desire?
Well, this is what this says is that the town clerk is appointing Christine as the deputy clerk and deputy registrar of voters.
Right.
So I guess my question is, will Gloria no longer be employed by the town?
That's not my decision. That would be Gloria's decision as to whether that she wants to continue on.
Well,
but she could, without an appointment, she could continue to work for the town in a capacity that doesn't include the deputy treasurer work.
Right.
She could do bookkeeping. She could do anything else.
Right. But so she wouldn't be a deputy clerk. That's what I'm just making sure we're not leaving something out here. That's all I'm trying to.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we can We can fix it later too. If I mean, it's not a one-shot deal if there's an issue.
Okay.
Okay, so I will reiterate the, let's see, we've had a motion and a second, or did I not even get that far?
Yeah.
We had a motion and a second. Okay. Is there further discussion on the motion to for the municipal appointments? Jay, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, I just, very briefly, every small organization in the world has this question thrown at them by their auditors every year.
Yes.
There is nothing abnormal, nothing out of the ordinary. It is, you know, they want as many different hands in the pot as they can get.
No, not hands, eyes.
Eye, well.
We don't want hands in the pot.
Okay. But you understand what I'm saying. And it's just, this is just the bane, you know, it becomes the bane of existence for all small organizations in trying to create enough division and diversity.
Yep.
So there's nothing out of the ordinary here.
I totally agree with you, but it is a good aspiration.
Yes.
Okay, are we ready for vote? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Main is a yes, passes unanimous. Thank you. Okay.
I just want to thank Chris for all she does.
You are perfectly welcome to say that, and I concur.
Thank you.
Okay, next item, 21055, to hear a report from the CART committee. Donna, go ahead, you're on. And David.
Well, the first thing I wanted to say, we had a citizen who asked how many people had come over on the barge for, you know, with the COVID-19, quarantining. And so I found that answer. Carol did the research, and to date there have been about 12 vehicles that have come over. Some have had two people in them, some may have had three people in them. But approximately 12. So I just wanted to inform the board because somebody asked. And then we have two specific things we would want to talk about tonight. One is the signage that you requested that we come back with some samples. So I'm going to turn this over to Eliza Jane Adams, who's been kind of shepherding that subcommittee.
Thank you very much. Am I ready to go?
We can hear you.
We hear you.
Okay, so a group of people met as the sign committee. We brought the proposal to CART. And what I'm prepared to show you is what we have available. May I do the screen sharing now, David?
I hope so. Do you have it available on your screen?
Nope.
At the bottom?
No, I don't.
The green thing?
Okay. No.
I'm going to have to figure this out.
I think you'll have to promote her to a panelist, David. She's not yet promoted.
Yeah. Let me do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Also, your video's not on.
Mine? I can't do it. I don't have any button that tells
me. You may not have a camera.
Oh.
Now I do. As a panel.
Oh, she does have a panel. There you go.
Now we can see you.
Yep.
Okay.
There you are. Now, did the share screen come up on yours?
Yep.
Ah, wonderful.
Okay. Are you seeing my screen? Host disabled. Okay. As the host, David, you need to enable the screen sharing. It's still disabled.
Where do I do that? Share screen. All panelists. Here we go.
Got it.
There. Okay. The learning curve.
So the proposal is to have two signs. This first sign would be at the ports of entry. I had a lot of feedback from different people about it. It was felt that it should be very simple in text and look official. This would, we would recommend this would be on Cousins at the wharf at the Stone Pier, both where people dock the CTC ferry and then at the public dock where those boats come in. Have one at Chandler's and the Paul Bolesk at the boatyard will be doing his own sign, but he's looked at this and I think has something very similar. I have a couple of different questions about it that if you're interested, I can present to you, but we wanted it to be welcoming and there you have it. A couple of things I want to say, the big sticking point with the committee talking about it was how to handle the issue of a mask. Because the governor's orders is that everybody should be wearing masks, but there's no clear thing other than when you're within 6 feet. So I'm gonna show you the different options. One is wear a mask, carry a mask. Masks required in public gatherings, and this sign is all in black. Some people like to have it in all one color as opposed to two different color fonts. Finally, these are the four choices if you wanted to consider them, to simply say wear a mask. Number two, wear a mask, carry a mask. Masks required in public when 6 foot distancing is not possible. So that's up for a decision based on what the board has to say if you want to go ahead with having a sign. I'll go back to this one. So I'd be glad to take questions or comments.
Okay, so we are talking, let's just reiterate because you kind of broke up a little bit. We're talking about three signs, is that what we're talking about?
We are talking about this sign at several locations. And this would put should be in compliance with the recommendations coming out of Governor Mills' office for public communication around COVID. So there you have it.
But the question was the location. So I heard you say Cousins. I heard you say Chandler's, and I thought you said one in between.
At the Stone Wharf.
Okay.
The top of the CTC ramp, and consider putting one where people come off the public boat ramp at Stone Wharf.
Okay, and the size that you're thinking about?
Well, let me get to that. I'll skip over the next one. I do have information about different sizes and materials, but I will give that until we look at the next one. So there are lots of different options available, metal, corrugated plastic. We could just print it off. If the signs were ordered, it's a 7 to 10 business day. The layout would change a little bit with the size, but there you have it.
Okay, and the mounting mechanism would be what? Would they be mounted on posts or would they be mounted on buildings or what's the thinking there?
You know, I'm not a sign expert, but I think if we took a look at what, I don't know who would make that decision. I think the sign at Chandler's would be appropriate to put onto the building. I think that the town could consider putting the sign inside the frame at the top of the ramp on Cousins. An appropriate place, I'm at the top of the ramp on Shebig, an appropriate place on Cousins would be right on the side of the building, the little shed that's there on Cousins.
Okay.
And so I think that's...
The thinking is mounting them on existing structures where it's feasible to do that. That's the thinking. Okay. We're only asking for recommendations. So.
Right.
Okay, that's all the questions I have. Anybody else have some questions before we get into making recommendations? Go ahead, Jay.
I have one more to show you, though. Okay, let me go back to this. Go ahead.
You, in order to make this welcoming, which you said was one of your goals,
yeah.
Would it make sense to insert the word help please help keep the island safe. Make people feel as though they're going to participate in the process of keeping it safe.
Okay, Marjorie? I'd
like them to be part of the program.
Thank you, Jay. Marjorie?
I forgot to look. I was going to go on White Sign and look for prices, but I think those signs seem kind of expensive based on my experience for the metal signs. And if you just want something, I mean, we could print this here at the office and laminate it if you just want something either 8x10 or 11x14, you know, something to stick up in the shed over at Cousins or, but my other question is, I actually liked the one that was presented last week that had on there that, especially for the Stone Wharf, that the Shebigan is closed, and but I guess people talked about it and said, well, how do we know they're going to stay closed and things about the golf course, just to let people that are coming in on a boat know that these things, these activities may not be available that they're coming to Shebig to participate in.
If it's a paper sign, that's one thing, but if it's a metal sign, it's another,
yeah. So that was the objection that the information might change.
Okay, Donna?
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to reiterate. Because these particular signs, we want them to be bigger than something we could produce ourselves so that they really get people's attention, that people see them as something that's serious and not just kind of a homemade. And that doesn't mean we can't make some other signs that would have some of that information on it. But it's a moving target. The golf club's already changed their rules a couple of times. And different organizations are changing. The library's doing curbside. And so there's so many different moving parts. I think that that's why that was changed. What I think the real issue is, pardon me?
What was the size that you wanted?
Eliza has it.
I don't have a recommendation. Yeah.
18x24, I think, what she had.
Yeah, these are sizes that are available, and I'd be glad to look into any other resource for having the signs made. These are fairly standard sizes.
Okay, any further comments, questions?
I do.
Donna first, then Eliza.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I think we need to drill down and choose one of those lines about the mask that she had for a choice. I think it's the next, is it the next one, Eliza?
Right here.
Yeah. My recommendation would, and maybe what you said before was you can't do this, but is there not a direct quote you can take out of the CDC guidance that you can plop in there?
Number 3 is.
Yeah, that's what I would go with.
Okay. And I will take care of that.
Well, that's just me. I mean,
okay.
How do other people feel? I guess no one else feels anything.
Okay. I'm fine with it.
I was fine with the wear a mask, carry a mask.
I agree.
Okay. It's fine. I don't have a strong feeling about it. My rule of thumb is the less we make up, the safer it is. But
I would like to.
And the other thought was to go back to what Marjorie was talking about, was the 11x14 sign size. When we may have to be, these may be changing. Seems silly to buy metal signs. An 11x14 should be big enough to keep people's attention.
Okay.
Can I say something?
Mark had his hand up first. Let's let Mark talk. Sorry, he hasn't said anything yet.
Could you scroll down to the masks section? I actually like number 3, masks required in public when 6-foot distancing is not possible.
I actually thought the CDC guidance was even at 6 feet, you were supposed to wear a mask, but that's not true, huh?
Well, that's kind of the CDC. This is coming right out of Governor Mills' From April 28th.
Okay, thank you. And Donnie, go ahead. Good. You had something.
Yeah. No, I can't remember what it was.
I'm sorry.
Oh, go back to the, talking about the big sign. We really drilled this down to the, for the near future, I think these things are going to be, they're really basically in effect until this whole thing's over.
Yeah, they're general enough, probably.
That's what we were trying with this one. And then the other one, then she can talk about the ones that have flexibility.
Yeah. I'm fine with this one. Mark, go ahead.
I'm sorry if I missed the answer, but Liza Jane and your committee, did you guys have a recommendation for the size of these signs?
I think the recommendation that it be large enough to take people's attention, and we actually have a lot of samples from other islands and from Little John and a bunch of other places. I think that we're looking at some pretty good size, larger than 11 by 14. But the one thing that I'll add is, in this first phase of signage, this is going to be generally accepted information that we're just going to keep reaffirming and educating the public, which is why keeping it simple is good. We don't anticipate any of this information will change, but I think the large sign makes a good statement about safety, and I hope that this is in language that people like.
Okay, so larger than 12 by 18?
Well, I think we could take a look at where it goes, but if we're looking at, I would take a look at the 18 by 24 at least, and that could be in metal or corrugated plastic, or any of the other sign options that Marjorie has a line on or anyone else does.
Yeah, my only reason for questioning is I don't really, care about the size of the sign too much, but there is a significant price difference between the metal and the plastic, that's all.
Right. Yeah, the plastic is pretty easy to, the corrugated plastic are the size that we see with political signs, lawn signs.
Yeah.
If I could, I'd like to show a picture. I hope I can show a picture of a sign. I think the town of Cumberland put up on their wharf. And let's see if I can do this. Does everybody see that? Is that visible?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I don't know the dimensions of that sign, but it looks pretty big to me. It's sitting at the Yarmouth Town Landing. I said Cumberland, I meant Yarmouth. And it makes a few points. And the only point I'm making here is it's certainly visible and stands out.
Herb?
Yes. Sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
I think it's reasonable 18 by 24. And I would kind of steer away from the lawn signs, having run for state office and bought a lot of those signs and had a couple of really bad rainstorms and windstorms. I had to go and pick up stuff from bushes in people's yards and then go buy new ones and put them back in. So as long as the weather's good, you're fine. But you can get in I got into a real mess. That's just practical experience.
Yeah. I actually do like the language on the last checkbox for the gloves and masks. That way, if CDC changes their guidance, it's clear. But I think your sign does the same thing. So I'm fine. Sure. While you're bringing it up, Marjorie, do we need to direct you if we want to fund this? Do we need to direct you specifically, or do you have enough leeway to to fund something in the, on the order of, what was the most expensive one? 60 times three is, I don't know, it's too late in the day for me to do math, but
We have a sign line in the public services budget.
Okay.
Herb, we also, if you remember correctly, we said we would take up to 500, I think it was out of contingency for COVID when we passed the committee.
Yeah, but I would be happy to, I would rather fund this out of our regular,
and save that for,
You know, something more specific to the CART organization.
Okay, thank you.
That'd be my preference anyways. So what are we looking at, Eliza?
Well, my other recommendation is that in talking to a variety of locations around the island, and I'm going to start really with the transfer station, the wearing of masks needs to be reinforced. And our thinking on the committee was that if there was one sign that could be the same sign across the island, the transfer station, it could be in, Julie has agreed to have the same sign if it's adopted at the market, so that around the island, this would be the one sign that reiterates the when masks are required. And I think about what Gail has gone through with people arriving and not wearing masks. So this, I have two options. This one here says it's from the town of Chibig, which makes it, I think, a little bit more official, but this is the choice of the Board of Selectmen. But I think having this one image that is consistent across the island really sends the message. And I think having it in a fairly friendly way is good PR at this time for how people feel about wearing masks and being required to do it.
Okay. I like the idea of having the word here in it and making it specific and not amorphous. I'm fine with the town sponsoring it. And you're thinking about, you'd be putting these up. I mean, required by whom, I guess. If it's required by the town, we probably ought to know where you put them. I'm not necessarily saying that we need to approve where you put them or dictate where you put them, but it, we at least ought to know. But if it's required by CDC, you know, if it's clear, or if it's, you know, it, having the town on means it's required by us. So I guess I would just ask that you communicate with us the locations. That's all. David, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, for example, at Julie's store, she's the one who's requiring the mask. And I think that that's really the driving decider here. If it's a location that wants to have this and require masks, that's fine. And we're just kind of signing onto it as a town.
I think you could do two different things. The ones for the town of Chibig could be things having to do with the town of Chibig, like the town office, the transfer station, you know, whatever else places that we decide as a, that are town controlled. And then the other one could be for Julie and nonprofits or, you know, whoever wants to, feels they need one. The food pantry, I know, wants one. You know, and they could be just using this one, face mask required, just to get that message
out there. Yeah, that's fine. I have no problem with the town, you know, under signing under whatever the word is, supporting this on in private. On private property, as long as the private property owner agrees and that we know about it, and required, maybe required is too strong a word. I don't know. If it's not an ordinance, is it required? If the town signs off on it, is it recommended? Is it? I don't know. You know, it gets weird.
Julie, for example, Julie requires that you have a mask. You're supposed to have a mask when you go onto her property. And people hanging out in the driveway are supposed to have masks on. And that's her rule in her property, and she has the right to say that. And I think as a town, maybe we haven't voted on it, but we're saying that the transfer station in the town office.
Well, Marjorie has the authority to do that.
Authority. Yeah, that's
because
right.
She's the emergency director, and we're in a state of emergency still. So she does have that authority, and actually has it on private property too. So or on public ways anyways. So I don't have a problem either way. I'm just, you know, just be careful. That's all of, you know, semantics. David, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you, Herb. I think putting the town seal on is okay. And it saves a little bit of money in production too, going with just one instead of several versions of it. Yeah. And as for the semantics, if required, let's just get the message out, not worry too much about semantics.
Yeah, you know me. Go ahead, Jay.
Just one stupid question. The lobster, do we have
I already did that.
Do we have the right to use it? Is it a trademarked item somewhere?
Well, especially without a crusher claw.
It's a good point. Is it copyrighted and is it public domain? It's not a bad point.
It was made, you can tell them.
It was, am I correct? It was made by Kim's son?
Son, Devin.
Devin, right. So he submitted it and I actually will share with you another option, but we.
No,
that sends the wrong message, I think.
It's bad enough that the is red to begin with.
We could have one in the pot without a mask and one outside the pot with a mask.
Well, this I think will be a big seller for people who want lawn signs, but in any event.
None of the clams are wearing masks.
Okay. And all I would reiterate is, you know, if the town logo goes on there, just make Marjorie aware where these things end up. That's all.
Great.
And
thanks.
Just as full disclosure, Devin has given the Historical Society the right to use this in merchandise. So you may see this lobster around town. And one more thing, we haven't really talked about this at CARD. It just came up at the end of the last meeting. But talking about whether we should have some kind of a sign that's on the right of way to the shore signs, because what we're finding is that it's that people don't realize that if they end up near other people, so it could be something as simple as carry a mask, you know, but we haven't gotten that far yet. But we have at least 12 right-of-ways to the shore signs that the town controls. And also we have 2 public beaches. So there's been a little bit of discussion about that, but it hasn't really perked yet.
Okay. Okay, David, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to move that we authorize the CART committee to proceed with the manufacture and distribution of signs as discussed here. The welcome to Shebig sign, please help keep the island safe version, and the lobster sign with the town seal attached.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. That welcome to Shebig sign, I agree with Mark. If we could carry, there we go. Have that. Yeah, clean that up. And yeah, that would be what I would be moving, that we use this sign. Keep Island safe, welcome to Shebig, and the lobster sign with the town seal.
Okay, Chris, you're clear on the motion? Okay, is there a second to that motion? Mark?
I'll second with a question. Where will the funding come from? Marjorie at the town office, David?
On the public services, public works budget, line item for signs.
Thank you.
Do we want to put a cap on the cost, or do we trust Marjorie to get back to us if it's a problem?
Trust Marjorie.
We agreed on that? Okay. Further discussion on the motion? Okay. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Actually, I should open it up to the public. Was anybody in the public would like to speak on the motion? I keep forgetting to do that in this scenario.
We have 6 people.
Yeah, I see no hands. Okay. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Main is a yes, passes unanimous. Thank you, Eliza. Much appreciated. And Donna and David, the work on the CART committee. Okay, Donna, you have more, right?
You can take
yes.
The panelists now.
Yeah, Eliza wants to get up to being a panelist.
Okay.
Thank you, Eliza. That was great. She's done a lot of hard work on that, and she's worked really hard in various aspects of the CART committee, too. And we really appreciate all those volunteers, some of whom are in the audience tonight. We wanted to, David and I went to the webinar or Zoom or whatever. It's so weird because now that everybody's living on Zoom. But yesterday, MMA had a 90-minute workshop with questions and answers. They had actually two during the day. They ran the same one twice. They had so many people. And to talk about the governor's grant program, $13 million for municipalities to get reimbursed for expenses related to COVID, things that we've spent money on, such as the signs, such as the plexiglass barrier that's in the town office, and many other kinds of things. In fact, they encouraged us to be really creative and talked about things like hand sanitizer stations and hiring additional staff if you needed to do some of the work. So there was a lot of flexibility. The final, I think David sent you yesterday, the final application, and that was just yesterday, and it's due on Monday. And so we have a couple of volunteers from CART, Lila, I think Eliza, Jane, and maybe somebody else. My internet died in the middle of when we were talking about it, so I'm not sure how that ended up. But to try to figure out, just brainstorm some programs. The way they described it, it can be really loose and just be estimates. There's no match, and it's reimbursable monthly, and it's expenses from June 8th until the 31st of October. And that's basically it. I'm going to turn it over to David, and he can talk a little bit more about it.
Well, I don't have too much more to add except that Monday, June 22nd is the deadline. And there are three areas that they're basically talking about. One is printing, posting, state, national guidelines. Again, as Donna said, it's very, very broad. Local activities, staff time can be included. The second area has to do with social distancing, again, signage, staff, PPE, can't remember what, personal protective equipment, things of that nature. I don't think we'd necessarily be interested in too much of that, although I'm not going to preclude it. And then lastly, business assistance, which would be education, handling of complaints, things that are much more related to business activities, of which we really have limited exposure here on the island. So what we're suggesting at this point is that one thing that they do require is a definite local contact appointed. Okay, good. Someone's putting up the...
yeah, that's me.
Yeah, good. Thank you, Herb. A local contact, which can be just that one person, and filling out this form, which, as Donna said, I think is it can be very creative. The hour and a half that we spent online, I think there were about 45 questions. Can we do this? Can we do that? Can we do the other thing? About the only thing they shot down was, gosh, now I can't remember. It doesn't really matter.
Zoom.
What was it?
They said they wouldn't pay for Zoom.
That was it. They wouldn't pay for Zoom.
They said it was part of doing business, and which is really interesting because I got a grant for the Historical Society, and part of it was Zoom, and they were really enthusiastic. It's just another state agency, so one agency doesn't know what the other one's doing.
But they're looking for things along the lines of what you see on the screen now, things that are directly related to the COVID-19 dilemma that we find ourselves in. And as I say, they're encouraging creativity. And the only other restriction is no double dipping. If we get money, let's say from the feds for some program, we can't claim it also at the state level. So that's where we are. We're up against the deadline of next Monday. As Donna says, we have people who are willing to work on this. And at this time, what we're seeking would be a go ahead from the Board of Selectmen to act on their behalf and get an application in by Monday and see what happens.
So let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you have an idea of who the contact would be?
That would probably be Marjorie. And again, it's a name and a phone number, and Marjorie's been handling everything well and ably up until this point. She could certainly pass off any questions that come in and hand them off if they're not directly related to what she has control over.
And how would the accounting be done? Would Marjorie also be required to keep track of these costs so that in October we have a good list of costs and receipts?
I'm going to say that that's an obligation, a role that can be adopted by either Donna, me, or somebody else. I can't see putting that on Marjorie because I think it's going to be simple enough. And with my view of it, and Donna, correct me if yours differs, is that this is really a program that's going to be run by Donna, me, and everybody else who's been working so hard on it for the past couple of months, and maybe actually get some compensation for them because they're all pretty well burned out at this time, with little real participation on from the town or the town office. That's my view.
Well, one of the things is monthly you have to submit for reimbursement. For right. example, say, so to say that Marjorie won't have to do anything, I don't think that's fair. But because, say, for example, we come up with a percentage of her time of Gennaro, for example. Gennaro's been going and meeting the boats. I don't know if that's the plan going forward. But that would certainly fit into this kind of a grant. But somehow there's to be communication between the town office and if there's volunteer administrators. So I think that when it comes to the accounting part, the treasurer is the one who is going to have to be submitting the bills. That would be my thought.
Yeah, and
My
thought is similar in that the volunteer group, if you will, would be putting together those costs for Marjorie's signature, perhaps.
Okay, your name's getting thrown around a lot, Marjorie. You want to say anything?
I would have to, I'm sure, do the paperwork because we pay the bills through this office, whether it's a payroll item or if it's an invoiced item. All of that information comes through this office. So I'm sure that I would be doing the drawdowns, if you will.
So you would be certainly, so let me ask you this. If there were a single volunteer administrator who you trusted to keep things really well organized for you and do the legwork and chase down the deadbeats that don't give them the receipts and things like that.
Like what?
Like what?
Well, if I pay a bill, I've got the bill. So I don't know what anybody would be chasing down.
Well, this is reimbursement. This isn't a bill, isn't it? When we submit for reimbursements?
Let's take the office sign as an example. Marjorie's ordered that office, not sign, the office barricade, the barrier, the plastic barrier. Yeah. That's on order. There's going to be a bill. Marjorie would pay that as normal. And then I would envision then that we would submit to the Maine CDC for reimbursement of that amount.
Okay. Yeah, and clearly that's on Marjorie's desk.
Yep.
Okay. So tell us what you think, Marjorie.
Here's what I think, and I know that I'm always saying negative things, but if you read through the grant document, I don't know if you noticed that it's federal money, I had to talk with Peter Hall, our auditor, today about something else, and I asked him at what point, okay, let me back up a little. If you get federal money, there's additional audit requirements. So for small grants of a few hundred or a few thousand dollars, to me, it's hardly worth it because of the time it's going to take you to administer the grant and the extra money that you have to pay for the audit procedures. But Peter did say that for these small amounts, these what is called the single audit requirements under the Office of Management and Budget, this is federal government stuff, it's not going to kick in with this amount of money. So he probably wouldn't be doing a lot of extra procedures for this small amount of a grant. So we would be, from the reporting requirements that we would have to follow through with, we would be considered a subrecipient of the state. The state received federal money under the CFDA number. So our requirement, there is a part of our audit report, I don't know if you've ever noticed, there's like, we get local entitlement and that's federal money. And we have to list out the federal money that we receive and put the CFDA number. So there's a small amount of administrative stuff that goes with getting federal funds. It's on page 3 of this, yeah, right here, this right here, these specific requirements that you have to make sure that you follow all of these federal requirements, which if you get a grant, these requirements will be listed. The uniform administrative requirements, cost principles, and audit requirements for federal awards. So I have a little bit of a concern, you know, if it's a few thousand dollars, my professional opinion is that getting a few thousand dollars of federal money isn't worth the administrative effort that you have to put in to administer the grant funds. That's just my professional opinion. If you want to try to get this money, that's up to you. I'm just telling you what I know.
Okay, thank you. David?
Now, what I failed to mention is when we brought this to the CART committee yesterday, we voted on it, and the 10 voting members voted 9-1 in favor of proceeding with this. And I just want to say that even if it is small potatoes with a little bit of administrative time, which we could charge against it, involved, I think it's a good use of or saving some taxpayer money, and at the same time, maybe making the community a little bit safer. So that's where I stand on it.
And how is the, I mean, you've got to come up with a budget, so the amount is determined by that. This figure of a couple thousand dollars, is that what was being talked about for a town our size?
Well, I'll try to answer that. No. At this point, we have no idea because we haven't been creative enough and we haven't pulled together a committee to say, what about this, that, and the other thing? What are the school's ideas? What are the ideas, a couple of the ideas that Donna mentioned? What's it going to add up to? I don't know. We might get to 10,000, 15,000. I don't know. But that's really, with the go-ahead tonight, that's our challenge over the next 5 days before we have to submit this on Monday.
Donna?
Yeah, one of the questions that somebody asked yesterday was, is it true, this is how they worded it, is it true that this $13 million has been divided between 495 towns, which was true, but that it will be given out $10 for every resident? And so they said, no, that wasn't true, but that I guess that if you multiplied by every resident in the state of Maine, it comes out to $10 a person. So it's such a moving target that, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how many people actually apply for this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It would be nice to have, and I understand the timing issues. It would be nice to have, before we did the go ahead, some sense about the things that might fit into this and whether it really did meet a reasonable threshold for a cost-benefit analysis. Things like, you know, Gennaro's salary down at the wharf, you know, getting reimbursement for that probably doesn't help Gennaro any, but it would help the town some. Marjorie's participation in the CART committee. I don't even know, Marjorie, if you put in your time for participating in a committee like that with the town. I mean, if we were to pay you overtime to do that, would that be, you know, are those the kinds of creative things that could get us to a beneficial point here?
I don't track that time. I don't know if it would be a requirement of the grant to put that on a timesheet and track it. I don't know what the grant agreement is going to say, but usually if it's federal money, these uniform administrative requirements kick in and you have to be pretty specific about time and effort.
I would think you'd have to have good documentation. Donna, go ahead.
One of the things they talked about was, you know, the percentage of the time somebody was working involved in this. Are you talking about somebody who is a part-time, you know, half-time, full-time, 10% of their time? I mean, Marjorie has put up to this point, and maybe it's not as much as it was, but, you know, the phone ringing off the hook and all of those kinds of things. So there, you know, a case could be made for the percentage of the time that, you know, the town office actually spent working on this. Because the interaction with the public, all of that. And that's why one of the things that they're encouraging people to do is actually hire more staff to handle some of these different things, to oversee, for example, somebody came to me, and this hasn't even been discussed yet, but the fact that the playground, if they open the playground, should there be somebody there watching? If in fact we hired somebody to watch the playground and make sure the kids were safe, that could come under this grant. But we haven't even got to the brainstorming stage yet because we didn't want to get too far ahead until we found out how the board felt. What I'm thinking is, listening to the discussion, is we're going to have something by Monday. And so we could certainly circulate whatever we have as soon as we have it.
Yeah. I personally would be inclined to go with it. If you can convince Marjorie that the cost benefit is worth it, I would go along with that. That would be my own. Yeah. Anybody else?
Don't put it on me.
We have a.
Company. You had a professional opinion, so you're the one to get paid for this.
I gave you my opinion.
But so you're saying they can't change that by putting together a good program?
I have very few details about what they're even going to put on here,
So. Anybody else?
We do have a couple of hands up.
I see them. Let's finish with the board and then I'll open it up. Jay?
Lacking any idea, I mean, I'm trying to think about what expenses we've incurred that sort of passed the smell test, if you will.
But Jay, this is expenses going forward.
Right. June 8th. But thinking about what we might have possibly spent up to date as an indicator of what we might spend going forward, without having a fairly detailed idea about what we thought these expenses were going to be, I don't think they're going to be very much of them. Unless we just start claiming, you know, anything that comes to mind and just go crazy with it, dipping our hands into the proverbial pork barrel, if you'll forgive the phrase. It's just too wide open and too undefined for me.
Anybody else? I'll open it up to the public. Okay, I'll open it up to the public. Liza Jane, you can unmute and talk.
Thank you very much. I appreciate what everyone has had to say, but one of the brainstorming ideas we had at CART was really saying that there's been a lot of volunteer time that's been put into CART and the sign committee and all of the communication that goes on. And I think that volunteers are starting to feel a bit burnt out. So we were concerned about that. And looking at, can we use this grant as other towns are doing to have someone maybe within the town, or maybe we have it as a grant position, who could be the COVID czar that takes over a lot of the communication pieces, the coordination of information. We know that the school will incur some expenses with opening up and needing more PPEs and a bunch of other things. So we could roll those expenses for the school into this grant. So I really think that we could look at this not as a pork barrel, but as an opportunity to really do a good job out here and to cover some of the expenses that we haven't even talked about yet. So it's not just about signs, but it's about all of the other, the coordination of everything that's happening and the fact that we could do a good job. Now, keep in mind, if we do have some COVID out here, we're going to be looking at a lot of other expenses as well for PPE. So I hope that the board would encourage that the committee looking at this grant to do something comprehensive and out of the box, to take a lot of the responsibility that's been happening in the town office with volunteers and the Board of Selectmen off their plate in a more coordinated way. I'm done. Okay.
Thank you. And Erica, you should be able to unmute.
Okay. Can you hear me okay? Yeah,
we can.
Great. Hello, Board of Selectmen and staff. I just wanted to weigh in. I've had the opportunity to listen to the Yarmouth Task Force and support them and be a bridge between Yarmouth and Shebig the last month. And they too are looking at a very, I would say, ethical and enlightened view to go directly to Jay's point. No one wants to do anything that is superfluous or excessive. What they have looked at, which I think is applicable to us, is they're looking at supplies, the cost of supplies, and the cost of people. So, and as we talked about, percentages of people or new positions, their organization's a little bit different from CART, and they do have a community organization under YCAN, which is their task force, but they have a chief of police, the head of EMS, the head of community services, and their town administrator sort of as a liaison. And the way they're looking at it is exactly that point to what percentages of people that's way up and beyond what they've been doing. So it would be the percentage of their police officer. So it would be the percentage of Gennaro's time at the piers, the percentage of time that Marjorie and her staff have put into this. I know I work with Gloria Brown when we're posting the CART updates and the COVID updates. You know, it's stuff that's up and beyond their time. But the other piece that they're looking at, I think Eliza Jane talked about, is also to take some of the role that CART's been doing, but formalize it, because we are going to be looking to set up systems that take us through to vaccine, quite frankly. The grant goes to October 31st, but they want to set up systems so that information from the CDC and the governor, someone's really tracking like the CART has done around the clock. As information comes out through the governor's office and through the CDC, we're all checking it every single day, that there would be someone who is sort of the central clearinghouse. I know Marjorie's checking it too. So there'd be part being educated on COVID as changes happen, but then it would also be helping, as you said, the school, the transfer station, with the mundane things, the barriers, the markings, hand sanitizers, And even if you just took, I mean, my opinion is like a hand sanitizer station. We've all known that washing your hands is number one, but with all the public bathrooms closed and the way life happens, to have the public hand sanitizer stations, even if we had three on the island, that's up and beyond the call of duty right now of anyone in the town. So this would cover the cost of that, the maintenance of it. The second area, and I know this has come up with the rise in the summer with traffic on the pier, we've talked at different meetings about safety way before COVID on traffic on the pier. Now with traffic at the Stone Wharf, this would absolutely cover a traffic officer, someone who would be keeping 6 feet apart, who could direct traffic. I think that is something that is also not excessive. I think that's already something that was way before COVID, something we could benefit from, and this would be someone helping direct traffic. Yarmouth is looking at going to the beaches. They want to someone sweating the details of which path down to the beach and which path back, so it's traffic flows. They need to, and it could be simple of just the person sweating the details of marking which way do you go down. It's like going into Hannaford's. They put the arrows, you go down one way and go down the other. So it really is the minor things. It's Marjorie and Gennaro going down to the pier, as everyone talked about. Again, that's up and beyond. That's time away from the office. So I just wanted to say they're thinking through staff time as well as the supplies. And then the last plug, just as a citizen, I think that the safety, we have been so thoughtful and everyone's been so careful to stop an outbreak. And I don't want to be in a position where we stress out the EMS and their limited supplies of PPE. And in this grant, they explicitly said that PPE is one of the appropriate costs. And I think that putting someone on the task of finding, as PPE is made available in N95s, so that we have a more comfortable supply for our rescue, I think that's really important right now. So anyway, I just wanted to give you an example of what another town was doing. And I think that the last thing is that as far as if it's a couple $1,000s, I think the way that we read the grant, or I read the grant, is that if it's over $25,000, it's a different type of reporting. But that I think that the way I read it is that they were looking at something more in terms of expecting towns to ask for $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $25,000, and that it would be rolled over. That we don't know what's going to happen right now, that the grant goes to October 31st, but it's not unheard of that it would get rolled over, because this isn't really going away after October 31st.
Okay, thank you, Erica. I guess my take on this so far is that our normal activities have been so disrupted that we could get reimbursed. Marjorie, let me ask you this question. Have we paid out salaries above normal for any of the positions in town that this could help us recoup an overage on the budget, or would?
No.
Okay, so nobody has spent or at least acknowledged more time. So in order to make that benefit, if Gennaro is working at Chandler's instead of at the Stone Pier, it's still within his salary. We're not paying him time and a half or overtime to get there. So we could get reimbursed against what we've already planned on spending. So the town could benefit, the taxpayers could benefit to some degree with that extra administration. Hiring of staff means making a new town position, not something we would do probably lightly. I'm not saying we wouldn't do it, but there's a certain amount of overhead in creating a new position, putting a new person on payroll, doing background checks, hiring and those sorts of things that would also burden the staff. So I don't know. I just think it needs to be done carefully. I don't have a problem with it. I just think that it may not be the panacea that it may feel like. I agree with Jay. We haven't spent a whole lot of money. We haven't spent extra money outside of the budget. that this would help.
Jay's trying to get back to the meeting.
Oh, hold on. Jay's calling. Apparently, get bounced out. All right. So you're out of the meeting. Okay. All right. Let me. I'll inform the rest of the committee, and we'll figure out what to do. Thanks for letting me know. No, no problem. Bye bye. Thank you. That was Jay. He was just letting me know that he got bumped off the internet and. Is trying to get back on.
I'm watching for him.
Yeah, I think, thank you, David. I think we can continue the discussion. Like I said, in theory, I don't have a problem with the idea. Money's great. I just think there is a balancing point, and I'm listening to Marjorie. So say that point may not get reached, and I don't want this to be more of a burden than a benefit. So that's where I'm at. I guess I need more details. Donna, go ahead.
Yeah, just for a clarification. So Gennaro's role at the Chandler's Cove Wharf was part of his harbor master duties. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know,
The question, Donna, wasn't whether it was part of his duties or a new duty. The question was, is the money that we're paying him above and beyond what we would have been paying him anyways? Because his other duties are less.
Right. No, I just was wondering if it was part of that salary. That's what I was looking at. So then what you could do is during the time that, you know, I don't know how many hours a day he goes down there. I've seen him several times. But what you could do, based on what they told us, is that you take those hours as part of whatever his day would be, and you figure out a percentage.
Yeah, I understand that, but that benefits the taxpayers in that it's money that we were going to spend anyways that we've already allocated to pay his salary. So we'd be getting new revenue that would make it cheaper, would lower the mill rate. You know, that would be the benefit. It's not providing any new extra services.
No, but what I'm just saying is the things that they're willing to reimburse.
Yeah,
because the whole purpose of this is how they've opened up the state, is by, and that's what they're trying to help municipalities deal with, the fact that they've opened up the state. And I don't know how much the plastic, the plexiglass shield that Marjorie has in her office, but apparently the school has to buy one too. Somebody said it was like over $1,000. So if the one at the school was the same, there's $2,000 or whatever the cost was.
Yeah.
And so you start adding it up, as Erica said. And I think that what we're looking for tonight is it worth our time to meet tomorrow, which is what our idea was, on a Zoom meeting, and try to flesh out some of these ideas and get some money, get some figures out there. Because if...
Yep. Go ahead, David.
This may be squishy economics, but it's an actual fact. If you have somebody working, let's say, 8 hours a day, and normally they're doing responsibilities A, B, C, and D, and then responsibility Z comes along, and all of a sudden it's taking 50% of the time, A, B, C, and D, maybe A, B, and C are not getting done anymore. They're still spending 8 hours, but there's unfulfilled duties that are not being as well attended to or unattended at all. And so I don't think you can take a look at simply the hours a particular employee is spending and say, if it's not overtime, it's not happening. Because I really do think there's a redirection of effort from what would be normal activities to these abnormal activities.
I certainly don't have any problem going to the next level on this and pursuing it. I would just really advise the CART committee to listen to our administrator, who is going to take on the burden of keeping this stuff straight and keeping this paperwork. And if it doesn't feel right, it has to meet a certain cost benefit. You know, in my mind, has to be a pretty good benefit. And it's hard to see without any details, and we're not, if you know, you submit this on Monday, we're not going to have a chance to look at it again. So I don't know how we're supposed to rule on it. In concept, I don't have a problem, but I'm very concerned that it's going to be more of a burden on our staff than it is a benefit to anybody in particular. That's just my concern. Mark, go ahead.
I understand the lack of specificity with this. Really is not, you guys really are not able to give us that, because it's really, you know, the cart before the horse in a way. So I understand that. I don't actually have a problem with looking into seriously applying for this. And I think there will be some legitimate costs, and the plexiglass panels at both the town office and the school are just obvious ones. And I think probably there are some other costs, like David says, that would be legitimate for redirection of duties that have been necessary due to this COVID-19. So I actually don't have a problem moving on that.
Okay.
If I could, Herb.
Yeah, go ahead, David.
We now have Jay as a call-in listener. I've allowed him to talk. I think he can just speak into the phone and be heard, but I don't know for sure. Jay?
Still says allowed to talk on mine. He's the 600, let's see. Jay, was that you?
Talking completed.
Hi. Okay. Hi. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there you are.
We can hear you. Okay. Thank you.
Good.
So let me quickly catch you up. It was pretty similar discussion to what you've already heard. Mark has weighed in that he's okay going forward. Donna and David are both in support of it. I'm in support of it conceptually, and just asking for them to be very careful and listen to Marjorie's input, you know, when they make up the final budget and say what we're going to do. So that's where we're at. Do you want to weigh in at all?
No, I think I've said my piece.
Okay. Thank you. David, go ahead.
Well, in that case, I'd like to move to authorize Donna Damon and myself, David Hill, to put together an application to the Maine CDC for COVID. I don't know what to call it, COVID-19 community, a COVID-19 community program, as outlined by the state.
Keep Maine healthy, yeah, okay. Is there a second to that?
I'll second it.
Mark will second it. So the only, and again, I apologize for the semantics, but you're gonna do more than put it together. We're
making an application.
We're going to authorize you to submit an application, right?
That's correct.
All right. Would you be okay with that change in the language?
Sure.
Okay. Chris, you got that? Mark, you okay with that?
Yes.
Okay. Donna, go ahead.
And I just want to say, and it will, it, with collaborating with community members.
Good point.
You know, So we're going to submit it on the behalf of the town, but it's going to be developed in collaboration with other with community members.
Right.
And what do you mean? Just talking over the points with them? You mean, or
right? And I mean, helping us, you know, develop the grant application, maybe doing some of the groundwork on finding out how much something costs.
Okay.
We're not going to do all the work ourselves. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's right.
And the other key piece of this is, and maybe if this passes, then we actually, we need to officially appoint Marjorie as being the contact person for people who have questions.
Yeah, we can do that separately. Christine has a question. Go ahead, Chris.
I just wanted to make sure that you want the part about developed in collaboration with other community members as part of the motion.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mark, you okay with that?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, you all set, Chris?
Yes.
Okay. Further discussion on the motion? Okay. Any discussion on the motion in particular from the public? Okay, seeing no hands, I will take a roll call vote. Mr. Corson?
No.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
And Mr. Main is a yes. Passes, save one. Unanimous, save one. Okay, thank you. Yes, David.
One piece of business on that would be to appoint our town administrator, Marjorie Stratton, as the point person, but making it very clear that she'll be well supported by the group putting this together.
Okay.
And what that means is she's the person who, if somebody has a concern in the community, they call her. And that's kind of been what she's done anyway.
Right.
But they need to have on the application the name of a live person who will field concerns or answer questions.
Okay. Are you seconding the motion?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Marjorie, you okay with that?
Yes.
Okay. Further discussion on the motion? I'll open it up to the public if there's any discussion on the motion. Seeing none, I'll take a roll call vote. Mr. Corson?
With Marjorie as the goaltender, yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Main is a yes, passes unanimous. Okay, thank you. Anything further on the COVID, the CART committee report?
I can't think of anything. There's several people on the in the audience. If we've forgotten something that we were supposed to bring to the board, raise your hand and feel free to.
Yep.
Because I.
That's fine. If anybody wants to weigh in at this point, further on the CART committee. I see no hands. Okay, let's move forward then. So I believe the next order of business is to consider a letter of resignation from the road commissioner. So in our town, the road commissioner, the town back at its formation in the town administrator ordinance offers up that the town administrator may be the road commissioner. If you read the language carefully, it kind of doesn't appoint it. It's just, it's like, you know, that can be one of the roles that the town administrator serves, which is a little strange language, but there you have it. And then our, it says that the Board of Selectmen will come up with a job description. Which we did, and that includes, actually it includes both the road commissioner and the animal control officer as being town administrator functions. And it's been quite a while since the town administrator has done any animal control.
I don't know, I think she's controlling animals all the time.
I'm not talking about us. But at any rate, that's kind of the way the mechanism works. So it's something we may want to revisit. But to the point here, Marjorie had indicated that given the burdens of the COVID-19 and the burdens of the way that we decided to conduct annual town meeting this year, that she could not carry out all of those functions faithfully, and she's offered a letter of resignation from the road commissioner position. So what's before us tonight is to kind of figure out what to do with that. Certainly, I think we're all inclined to respect that resignation and understand that Marjorie probably can't faithfully carry out all those functions at this point with everything that's on the plate. In theory, the town, if in order to change the road commissioner function, the town is supposed to do that at a town meeting 90 days before the annual town meeting because it's a change in government. Obviously, we can't do that. I don't know of a reversion clause in state statute that barring all other options, that the Board of Selectmen would handle that position. But I think that's the way we have to move forward here. So I'm inclined to think that with the letter, if we accept the letter of resignation for the road commissioner position, then the only logical functioning road commission is the Board of Selectmen at that point. And we would have to figure out how to do that. So I think that's the topic of the discussion tonight. I don't know that we need to solve all the problems. I think we may need to, as Donna, I think, suggested earlier, I think we may need to sort of come up with a working solution where we can get the job done that needs to be done. That is to carry out the road plan and the alternate road plan that we've sort of commenced to do after the approval of a contract. That's sort of the groundwork. Marjorie, do you want to add anything to that?
That's just too complicated.
Sorry. It is too complicated, but
I think it's easier if I just keep doing it and maybe Mark will just help me just leave it the way it is.
Okay, that wasn't my goal in going through all that.
I know. It just seems overly complex.
Okay, I'm not so sure it is. Donna, go ahead.
Yeah, this isn't the first time that the Board of Selectmen has had to be the road commissioner. If you remember correctly, when just before Marjorie came, I can't remember how many of you were on the board at that time. I was, David was, Mike, were you on there at that time when we hired Marjorie? And no. Herb, were you on there?
Honestly, no, you weren't on there, Mike? I don't think I've ever hired a town administrator.
Okay, well, I've been on every hiring committee. But anyway, we had to be the road commissioner. And Mike, you were on the board at the time. And so we did, and that's when we found out that it had to be the whole board. And we had Wayne help us a little bit at that time. And, kind of just got through it. And basically, if there was an issue, that somebody would volunteer to say, okay, well, I'll, kind of ride herd on that. And everybody would say, oh, yeah, do that. And then come back and tell us what we need to know. And it was kind of informal. And it didn't last for, it was maybe, how long do you think it was, Mike? A month, maybe a month and a half?
Wasn't very long, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is an insurmountable thing. My objective in going through all that was not to put up roadblocks, simply to to lay the framework for a decision that we can make. And I think we make it and just understand the risks of making it. I mean, the road commissioner police may come down and slap us on the wrist, but I mean, we need to get the work done, and we just need to do it. So, go ahead, David.
Well, I think the immediate task at hand is simply to accept Marjorie's resignation as road commissioner and move on from there. I think, as you pointed out, it will fall to the board as a whole, and we can figure it out as we go along. But in the interest of taking Marjorie off the hook for now, I make that motion.
Is there a second to the motion to accept the letter of resignation?
Yeah, I'll second it with a comment, if I may.
Yeah.
I really don't feel that Marjorie needs to hang on to this. I think she's got enough going on without being too much of a smart aleck. And, I think the board can just assume the role as road commissioner as a whole. I don't think too much is going to change. I think we should just mostly focus on preparing the roads that we target for our finishing up our road plan. Moving forward, I think we should have a discussion about the function of road commissioner here in the town of Shebig and see if we want to do something different with it, along with probably a discussion of the job description of the town administrator, which right now, until we take it out of there, that duty out of there tonight, that still lies in that job description. So I agree with David. I think we should just accept her resignation, take that weight off of her shoulders, move forward with our preparations for resurfacing and next year chip sealing our roads, and then revisit this title, this job.
Okay, anybody else? Donna, go ahead.
As one of the authors of the ordinance, the reason it's May in that ordinance was because there's so many different aspects of the job. We wrote everything in there because we said we didn't know if we would be able to find somebody who could do all of those different kinds of things, and that we might have to farm some out or hire somebody part-time for some of those other jobs. So that was intentional to say May, because there's different skill sets, and which we'll get into as we're, you know, looking at the, as Mark said, at the job description. But I think that we can go forward, and there are different projects that need to be finished, or we need to get estimates about design work, for example, Indian Point, you know, and I've said right along that I would volunteer to be involved with that. So I would be willing to, you know, call an engineer and have them come down. I think Oh, you already do? Oh, yeah. Great. So, but anyway, I was using that as an example.
Let's just keep it to the motion at hand here, to accept it or not.
But, I mean, I think that we can do this.
Okay. Jay, did you want to add anything?
I guess my concerns are that, having read what the road commissioner's does and spent some time going through that, having a committee running it is going to be a huge challenge for this group. And I'm not sure how that's going to work. And I don't see a clear path particularly through it. So I don't know how we turn around and say to Marjorie, you've tendered your resignation and we understand why. We wish you hadn't, but whatever. But we truly understand why you've been buried. So I don't know which way to go, quite frankly. I'm sorry to see this happen. And I don't see a clear path forward. And that's okay. That's my greatest concern.
Okay. Marjorie?
Well, I think actually the road plan is one of the most consistent capital projects in this town. There is a road plan and there has consistently been a plan. Mark and Herb were on the road committee previous to becoming selectmen, but we've continued to update that plan. So there is a specific plan, just implementing it.
Yeah, and that is one of the tasks that's normally to the road commissioner, is to sort of survey the roads on a regular basis and make recommendations. And we've always taken that out of the bailiwick.
Yeah, my concern, Herb, is not for the overall plan. I think that's worked quite well, very well. It's the day-to-day details I'm concerned about. And how that gets managed.
You mean like oversight of the public works crew and that sort of thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. That's a fair assessment. Donna, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, that was basically what I was going to ask is, so when it comes to, we have two employees in Public Works, and the road commissioner is not in charge of the transfer station, right? Or is the road commissioner in charge? I mean, no, that's a whole different thing. So who would be supervising, you know, as Jay just raised, who would be supervising? Would we all five be supervising them? Because that was the question. Let me just finish. Because that was the issue that we had before when we had five people. And right off the bat, we said, we can't do that. We can't have one, you know, somebody have five bosses. And so there has to be some kind of, we've got to figure out chain of command, or somebody is a point person for something that we all agree with, because that's not fair to any employee.
Well, the bottom line is that the statute is pretty vague on exactly what the road commissioner's tasks are. They're different things in different towns. Not every road commissioner supervises the public works crew. Not, you know, and elected road commissioners are different than appointed ones and different than the board. So, I mean, I think we need to find a way through this. I wouldn't personally be in favor of anybody becoming the supervisor of any town employees that's different than it stands right at the moment today. And that the road commissioner's responsibility is, and it's going to be the responsibility of the whole board, is sort of going to be oversight over that. And we already direct Marjorie in whatever capacity we want to do. So there's not going to be one person dictating anything to anybody. So I think this board would cede the day-to-day functions and just keep going the way they're going. It's the work that we're taking off the plate here is, you know, figuring out the how to get the work done and to honor the contract that we entered into with all states under the conditions that you know we found ourselves in after we did that. And I think the Board of Selectmen can do that. I don't think it changes anything about oversight of employees. I don't think it should anyways. And the truth of the matter is we just don't have a definition of those nitty-gritty things because we've always given it to Marjorie. And the Board of Selectmen doesn't have the authority to, you know, to reappoint a road commissioner or anything anyways. That's a town function. That's a town meeting function. So I'm comfortable with this board being able to work through the road commission, exercising the road commissioner responsibilities. And that is that if there's something wrong in the road, you know, it's our job to handle it right away, to make sure it gets handled right away. If we direct the town administrator to direct the public works to do that, the point is it has to be the whole board that does it, not one person. And so we might have to call an emergency meeting to do it. But this doesn't really change much. You know, Marjorie always came to us with these concerns anyways and talked these things through with us anyways. So I don't see that this changes that much, except it puts more of the responsibility on us to make sure that these things happen and less burden on Marjorie.
I guess I would like to hear from Marjorie about how she feels it will work with the employees and what her ideas would be, because I mean, she's the one in the trenches.
Yep, fair enough.
I think it was primarily just the implementing the road plan and getting the work with all states going. I don't have any problem supervising the Public Works Department. I'm happy if we just back away from this too. It's overly complex to just do this. I mean, Mark has always been willing to help me meeting with Jerry and doing what needs to be done to implement the paving program.
Yeah, it got complicated this year on a number of fronts. It really did, and not through any particular fault. It was just the way things happened.
So we can just leave it the same. I can withdraw my resignation.
Okay, David, go ahead.
I wouldn't want to see that. I would like to relieve Marjorie of that headache, and I'll call the question.
Yeah, that's sort of town meeting Robert's rules. We don't usually call the question here, but I'll ask if anybody else has anything else to add. Mark, I'll let you speak.
I really think that it's a matter of just moving forward with this. I agree. I don't think us five or any of us singly should be, you know, directing or overseeing employees. It's not the way any town is set up anywhere. I just think we need to keep it simple. I think we just need to mostly focus on the road program and the repairs and culverts that need to be replaced before next season so that we can go on with our road plan. As far as the road commissioner position, we may end up leaving it in the town administrator's job description moving forward. Once we look at that job description, we may decide that it's not appropriate in there and it should be separated. We just don't know yet what we're going to do with that job description, if anything, moving forward. So I think we should just keep it simple.
Okay. The motion on the floor has been made and seconded and discussed. I will briefly open it up to the public if anybody wants to speak on this. But it is getting late and we have more work to do. So I'd appreciate brief comments if anybody has any. I don't see any hands. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and take a roll call vote.
Can
Donna,
I
did you have something? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I just want to, Marjorie, you're dead serious that you're willing to stay on doing this and yes. You don't feel coerced.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Roll call vote. Mr. Corson.
No.
Ms. Damon.
No.
Mr. Dyer.
Yes.
Mr. Hill.
Yes.
Wow. I think this is the first one I've ever decided.
It's up to you, Herb.
Mr. Main is a yes. Passes 3-2. Okay, so yes, sir.
Just a suggestion. Since we will be going into an executive session next, I just thought it might be useful to ask if there's any other business to be brought before the public before we ask them to say goodnight.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be like a quick front end and bump into executive session, but it got a lot longer. So I agree, and I was going to offer people could come back as we would it physically, but I think that's a good suggestion. So we are taking up out of order. We are taking up item number 6, other business. The only item I know of is to approve, which is not a separate item there, is to approve the warrant, not the warrant, but the minutes from the last meeting on 6/10. Would anybody be willing to make a motion to that effect?
I move we approve those minutes of 6/10.
Thank you, Jay. Is there a second?
Second.
Mark seconds. Is there a discussion on the motion?
I'm abstaining because I didn't have a chance to read them.
Okay. Thank you, Donna. Okay, I'm going to take a roll call vote. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon is an abstain. Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Main is a yes. Passes 4-0. Thank you. Any other business that we should bring before the public before we go into executive session? Okay. Hearing none. So members of the public, there are 7 attendees now. We will ask you to, Erica has her hand up. Let me finish the discussion and then I'll let you speak, Erica. So this is typically other business would would be where we would, the board would suggest other business to bring before the public. We've decided there is none, so the next step is an executive session. For that session, we would ask that members of the public sign off, and we will keep an eye on the attendees and make sure that no one gets on inadvertently, thinking that we're in open session. The executive session is to discuss a personnel matter, and we discussed it last week. It's to talk about general personnel functions in the town with Marjorie in the context of her letter of resignation from the town administrator position. So having said that, Erica, I'll let you speak. You'll have to unmute.
Unmute. Sorry, I went the wrong direction. Thank you all. There was one important thing, and as you were talking about all that Marjorie is directing right now on top of the COVID and the road commissioner, I just wanted to say that the elections and anything related to protection of the public during the town meeting or anything related to elections is absolutely covered in that grant too. And that could be extensive. At the last meeting, Marjorie presented that plan for the packet, potentially a town Zoom discussion. I agreed with Herb and Jay that there's something so special about the public meeting, and you've probably seen that other towns have sorted out it on a sunny day with chairs in a parking lot 6 feet apart, that there are some creative ways that people could at least have a public discussion, even if it weren't by vote, because I understand you're moving to referendum. But anything related to that would be covered in that grant. And I just wanted to put that in because I know that's very much on the top of the agenda right now and on the town staff's mind is how to pull that off. And even if they needed to hire temporary help to pull it off, or, you know, all of that would be covered. So I just wanted to put that
Thank
in
you,
there because there's such important work being done.
Thank you. Okay, so I'll ask the attendees, the members of the public, to sign off now.
Thank you all for coming.
Yes.
Andy Griffith will be starting at 8:00, so in case you want to watch that.
Herb, I'm coming right back.
Okay.
Yeah, me too.
Bathroom break, 5-minute recess.
Yep. We in executive session or not?
We haven't made a motion yet.
We're in the bathroom session.
We need Chip to leave, and then we need to take a vote to go into executive session. I think Chip may have stepped away from his computer, so I may just remove him.
Yeah, bump him off, yeah.
Bye, Chip.
And Jay, you're still without internet?
I'm still without internet.
Okay.
Thank you, internet service.
You are the one and only participant at this point. So we'll keep it that way.
Yep. Dave, are you prepared to make a motion to go into executive session when I get back?
Yep, I will do that.
All right.
We do continue recording, do we not, or should I terminate?
Yeah, I would. We're not required to, and I wouldn't.
Okay, so I'm going to stop recording.
It becomes public record if you do that.
Yeah. Glad I asked that question.
Yeah, leave it on while we take the motion, though.
Oh, that's a good point. Okay, still recording.
Yep. Actually, we can move with the three of us. You want to just do that? I don't think there's any objection. All right, go ahead.
I move we go into executive session to discuss a personnel matter.
Second.
Okay. Thank you, Jay. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor? I'll do a roll call. Sorry, Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon is absent. Mr. Dye, we just made a motion to go into executive session. You can vote if you like or don't have to.
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Dye votes yes. Mr. Hill?
Yes.
I'm back.
Ms. Damon, we're in the middle of a vote to go into executive session. Would you like to vote?
Yes.
Okay. Is that your vote?
Yes.
Okay. And Mr. Mann is a yes. Passes unanimous. Okay, you can stop the recording now.